of these, and the recording will be available shortly after the webinar. We'll post it, and it'll be there indefinitely. And we invite you to check out our menu of different webinars that we have had in the past. I think we've been doing them now for, oh, probably at least a year and a half, and we have quite a bank of different webinars on various topics. And they're very enriching and stimulating and informative, so take part in those. And don't just hold them to yourself. Share them with others. We invite you to send them out to your list and let people know what's going on. That's the way the word gets out. With that, what I want to do, and I will mention one thing, is that we already have, I can tell when we have a guest that some folks are really either interested in their topic, or maybe they know a little bit about them from the past where they've become aware of them. But we have questions already in the queue. What I want to do is go ahead and bring you into the conversation, George, and if you would, rather than me giving some type of bio or whatnot, I think you have quite a story to tell, and maybe we can go in that direction. I became aware of you a number of years ago through various expos that I went to, and I the most recent one, I believe, where I heard you speak and just chatted with you briefly there, is in L.A. at the Awake and Aware Conference in L.A., and that was put on by Project Camelot. Project Camelot's also another very interesting organization that I invite you to check out their website. It's projectcamelot.org, I believe is what it is. And there's quite a bit of information available through them. And, George, you struck me as someone that has an amazing story because you've been to the top and you've played with the big boys. And you're kind of on the opposite side of the fence now. Can you kind of bring us through and tell us how that all came about, what it is I'm talking about?
Well, you want to know a little bit of my background, and primarily it's a game of Monopoly, frankly. My dad was in the meatpacking business in Denver, and that's where I was born. And in that business, you utilize an enormous amount of money, Earl. What we do at that time, we would go out and buy a carload of cattle, and then the Packers and Stockyards Act says that you have to pay the farmer within 24 hours, you know, because basically you process the animal and it's gone. So we can understand that. But we turn around and we would process the animals, and then we'd sell the processed meat back to the government. Well, that puts us in a little peculiar position because the government would pay us in about 60 to 90 days later. Which means our receivables became into the millions of dollars. And my job with my dad was to go down to the banks and negotiate with them to get financing. Again, basically accounts receivable on accounts on government contracts. By doing that, I became familiar with all of the banks and how they basically worked in the Denver area. In fact, I had borrowed the limit that the banks could loan me up on 17th Street. That was the main list of them. Anyway, while I was doing this, a couple of the bankers came to me, because we had a lot of friends with money, and they said, can you get your friends to deposit money into our bank, and then we can loan you more money? And that sounded like a good idea to me. So anyway, I talked to them, and I says, well, what's in it for me, and what's in it for my friends to move their money out of one bank into your bank? And he said, well, at that time, I don't know if you remember this, the banks were giving away TV sets and all kinds of things for people to deposit their money in the bank. So what happened is I entered into an agreement with the bank that I would charge them 3% on all the deposits they wanted, and we just negotiated on the amount, like $1 million or so. Anyway, they pay me $30,000. But in order for you, Earl, as a friend of mine, and you got $10,000 sitting in your bank account over here drawing your today's interest, let's say 3% or so, I would write you out a check in advance for 2%. So and all of a sudden, your yield went from what you got at that time, that time was around 5%, up to another 2% in advance. And at that point, you had a federally guaranteed return, or FDIC-insured guaranteed return, which was about 30% more than you would normally get with no risk. Well, then you started telling all your friends, and what happened is that I had millions of dollars coming in my accounts. And what I did was negotiate with all the banks. Now, the problem with this little game was, at the end of 1 year, when your certificate of deposit came up for renewal, the bank itself, you call me on the phone, and he says, George, am I going to get my fee again? And I says, I don't know, I'll call the bank. So I call the bank, and unless they paid me to pay you again, I couldn't do it. So what I did was just move your money out of the bank into other banks. Well, that leave a little bit of problem because you're aware of how the banks work anyway. They have so much assets that they can loan out, basically 10 times their asset base. So if I put in $1 million, they could basically loan out $10 million. Well, if I did that, then the bank could become very well upside down very quickly, kind of like what the real estate market's doing today. So I became very powerful. So what happened during that sequence of events, first thing they did is the Federal Reserve notified the state of Colorado that I had to get licensed. And that was kind of interesting because I went down to the state securities department. I says, okay, I need a license to sell money. And they said, well, we really don't know what to do because we don't have one for selling money. And I said, well, let's make one then if you have to have it. And I said, the first thing I have to do is to understand what we're talking about. I mean, you would agree with that, wouldn't you, Earl?
Absolutely.
Okay, so the first thing I did then was get all the main accounting books for the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank and go for definitions. And if you contact today, you can get them at the UN building in New York, or you can get a hold of them. They're called Systems of National Accounting. In the accounting book, they're about as thick as the telephone book, just so you know. In their books, the first thing I wanted to know is, what is their definition of money? And, Earl, the peculiar thing is they don't have one. Now, you would think that we're all out here playing this game with what we think money is, but if the world players don't know what money is, then what is it? So what I agreed with the state was that we'll have to consider this some kind of a security at some point. So they said, that's a good way. We can give you a license for securities. And I said, go ahead and give me the exam. They said, well, you got to get a principal's exam. Now, a principal's exam is kind of like being an accountant and an attorney together. So I said, well, give it to me anyway. I studied law at the University of Illinois. I studied engineering at Colorado School of Mines, and tests were kind of fun. You know how that is. Anyway, I get the exam. I passed the exam, and I got myself the only license in the state for selling money. Well, that satisfied the state and it didn't satisfy the Federal Reserve because I became more powerful across the country. So in order to stop that, they just sent a letter to every bank in the United States not to do business with me. Well, then I moved all the money that was in the banks into the S&L industry. Remember that fiasco? So, and when they went under, of course, a lot of things happened. The inner group, we basically my friends at that point, bought all the assets for like 30 cents on the dollar. The government took over the rest of the debt on that stuff. My friends got the stuff for 30 cents, turned around and marked it up for whatever we wanted to. And I agreed to do that with my friends, and we would split the spoils, so to speak. And I never charged anybody any salaries or anything else. We just worked on this game. Well, then one weekend, and just as a coincidence, there was a meeting up in Aspen, Colorado. And my friends called up, and they said, we need you up here for a special meeting. I said, fine, I'm going to bring my daughter so they can go skiing. And they said, no problem. So anyway, I get up to Aspen. I walk in the room, and the world leaders were in there, Earl. And I said, what am I here for? And they said, and for the next president of the United States. And I said, why me? And they said, well, we owe you a favor. And I said, my next question is, who's going to be the next president? And they said, Jimmy Carter. And I said, Jimmy who? And they said, well, he's the Democratic governor of Georgia. And I said, but I've been voting Republican. And Paul Volcker walked over. He's about 6'6", a tall guy. He walks over and he says, son, don't worry about it. We control them both. And I said, but I just started this $100 million project. They said, don't worry about that. We'll put that on ice. And then the next question I says, what does the finance chairman do? And they said, well, you sit down with Ted. So I'm sitting with Ted Kennedy, you know, the man that just died. And we're discussing what my job would entail. Anyway, when I got through with the encounter with him, which was not good, because the guy is and was and still was, in my opinion, you know, one of the worst that we've had, because he was just bought and paid for by the establishment. anyway, within the meeting, there a lot of things occurred that day, and I decided, wait a minute, these guys are not playing with a full deck. I don't know if I want to be there. I mean, I got up from 10 and I walked across the room. I was talking with Pierre Trudeau and his wife, just to give you an idea. Now, I've run around the world, so I've been involved with, you know, presidents of countries. I've been involved with some of the legal issues that are going on in other places. I'm currently working with some people in two different countries trying to create a new currency that they can have that's as a basis for what's going on, because, as you know, the whole world's coming apart right now.
Sure is. Are you there?
No, I'm not here. Anyway, the other areas that I got involved in was real estate. When I moved the people out of the, the money out of the banks, because their yields are only 5 or 6 or 7%, whatever it was at that time, everybody's always trying to get something for nothing or more money, as you know, right? So I'm looking to how can I represent my clients and get them the best yield as I could. When I got my principal's license in the securities business, analyzing everything, it turned out it was another license to steal. But, I'm not interested in stealing money. I was trying to help my friends. So what I did do was go around. At that time, there was a couple of friends of mine in Denver, with Jim Mullen and Andy Anderson, who owned the Village Inn Pancake House. And they're that's kind of like a IHOP, if you want to look at it. Anyway, they had a couple little ones, and they said they wanted to franchise it across the United States, but they didn't have any money. And I said, I'll tell you what I'll do, because I felt pretty good about real estate. I was investing in real estate at that time. I said, why don't I build the buildings? I had a construction company. I'll build the buildings and lease them back to you. I won't finance the kitchen equipment, but I will get the buildings. You tell me where you want one. I'll go check out the land, and we'll build it and lease it back. Well, I leased it to them at basically 12% of my capital investment. In other words, if I build a building and bought the land, they give me 1% a month on my money. Well, I would share that back with my investors. In other words, the people who came with me. I would also borrow the money from the banks to finance some of it. So basically on a $300,000 project, which I was generally in there, I would raise like $50,000 from my investors, and I would borrow like $250,000 at that time about 6 or 7% interest. Now, what occurred is, because I was getting 1% a month, I was making money for everybody because I only had to pay 6% of problem, and the rest of it I would split with our people. Now, the other thing is, my lease that I had with them was against a gross income, because I felt inflation's always a factor. You know, every time you turn around, something's going up in price, right?
Yep.
So what I did was I said, the 1% a month is okay, but I want whatever's the most. I'll either get my 1% guarantee or I want 6% of the gross income. Well, every one of the restaurants that I built across the country, and I built in 22 states, they all exceeded their, the net figure. Within 6 months or so, they were up into double digits. In other words, they would do like $1 million a year business, so I'd get $60,000 a year return. My expenses would be 25. So what would happen is my investors were getting between 70 and 100% return on their money every year. Hmm. Now, what would that do? Of course, you told everybody else about it, and what happens? And I got more money. it just kept going. All of a sudden, I'm building shopping centers, office buildings, motels, and restaurants, and, all over the place. So, you can almost pick a state, as I said. And I became very successful in the game of Monopoly. So I had all kinds of stuff that I was working on. Anyway, as I'm going up into the political game, I'm running around with, quote, some of the people across the country that were put into office by this so-called elite group that's behind the scenes. You never see the real people that control this country. They always put somebody in front. Now, Kissinger said, look, the absolute aphrodisiac is power. So what we're going to do is we'll put you in a position, make it, you'll look like Obama. He's put there. That's a position of power. And again, that's the absolute aphrodisiac. Well, you know how it is. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. So what happens is our whole system now in the United States is we have the best government money can buy. And basically, Earl, from that, you can ask me any question you want.
Okay. Well, the thing is, I know that there's some very interesting things that happen. You established all of this, but there was a point, a real turning point for you where I know there's a particular event that you've related before that was a major turning point for you, and everything went in the opposite direction from the way you just described when that happened. Do you care to recount some of that for us?
Well, I'll give you, that was at the meeting up in Aspen. When I sat down with Kennedy, Kennedy looks over at my daughter happened to walk in, and Ted looked at her, and he says, "Wow, I want to go to bed with that." And I said, "No, you don't, Ted. That's my daughter, and she's 14. And he says, "I don't care." I was livid. Then I got up, and I walked across the room just to talk to Pierre Trudeau and his wife. And sitting in front of them, the little half cigar box full of white powder. And I'm looking at other people around the place. Now, in other words, we're sitting there. I even took the housekeeper, and we went in the back room, and I'm looking at this chemistry set. Now, it was really in all this glass tubes all over, and I said, "What is this?" And they said, "Freebasing equipment." And I got to thinking about it. If people have to resort to this kind of stuff, I don't know if I want to be part of them anymore. And it was okay. My mental attitude was it was okay playing Monopoly. You know, if you weren't smart enough to get up to where we were, that's going to be happening. Well, basically, you get in so much power with money, as you know. We can sit down there and build city. I mean, Bill Levitt and I, we spent a couple hours one weekend. Now, Bill Levitt, it was Levittown, Pennsylvania, Levittown, New York. We were discussing building cities and things, and he said, "Make sure you don't put your name on it because immediately you get targeted." You know, we just joked about some of this stuff. I had all of the adult toys by that time. You know, I had 5 airplanes, a couple yachts in the Caribbean, you know, houses in Phoenix, Beverly Hills, Aspen, Denver, of course. And the rest of the places I just traveled. I owned a couple coffee farms in Costa Rica. Just things that I wanted to do. I had to play things, and I could go anywhere I wanted to. Well, I sat in on a couple. When I said no, at the meeting was on a Friday, and I said, "I'm going to let you guys know on Monday." On Monday, I said no. Anyway, that Friday, my lead bank in Denver called me, Bill Clark is his name, I'll even tell you. He called me on the phone. He says, "George, I don't know what you did, but you made the guys mad at you." And I said, "Duh." Anyway, he said, "Get down here." Anyway, he ended up calling all my loans. And remember, Earl, I was building in 22 states, so it was a little upsetting to me. But I figured I knew what they were doing. I would go ahead and play the game. And all in, you know, cover myself as much as I could. Well, I lost millions. I didn't lose everything, just so you know. I didn't go completely broke. But I sat in with one of our governors, and he said, "Well, he was elected also, you know, into his position." And he said, "I got my ticket. I'm about done." And I said, "What ticket?" And then he explained to me the Plan 2000. Have you heard about the Plan 2000 or the Global 2000 agenda, Earl?
Yes, I've heard of that. I'm not sure if our listeners and readers have.
Well, the plan, and it's on my website, nohoax.com. I'd give you a summary of it. I call it Armageddon, the Plan 2000. As I sat in on the meetings, Kissinger et al. In his group, you know, they basically have formulated, and they said, "Look, the number one problem on the planet, we got too many people. We don't have enough resources to cover everything." So their analysis was, in order to do this, and I remember, I'm sitting in on the meetings. There's a dozen of us talking about how to reduce the world's population. And their best solution was to get a war started in the Middle East. And that was, they call it the Plan 2000 because that was the year we're supposed to get started in the Middle East. Now, what happened in the year 2000? How many bombs did we sell off over there? You understand? We didn't get the war started, but we certainly killed a few people off. Well, their goal is to reduce the world's population down to less than 500 million. Now, the 500 million is a calculated information that they had received from all their scientists that's the carrying capacity of the planet to stay in balance. And, of course, we're about 6.8 billion right now, increasing by, if you go to my website, I have a clock on there that tells you the increase over deaths is about 200,000 a day, or 2 million every 10 days. There's not enough resources left on the planet. We have reached, as they say, peak oil, peak water, peak soil, peak everything. We have peaked out. Now, it's not that we can't produce more, but there's no nutrients left. There's nothing left that's going on it. So they're active. They're way behind schedule, obviously, because they didn't get the war going. But their goal was to have this thing completed, their fait accompli, by the year 2012, to follow the other prophecies. Because people really love prophecies, or they love all these things, right? They even built a monument down in Georgia. You're probably familiar with it. It's called the Georgia Guidestones, which
right.
has exactly what I'm telling you on it, the goal for a one-world order, one-world religion, 500 million people. And it's done in eight languages. You can go, again, go to your internet and just type in Georgia Guidestones. Anyway, the plan 2000 is to reduce the world's population by all means necessary. Now, really bothered me a few years ago. I was building some stuff in Las Vegas, and I was asked to build an enemy prisoner of war camp. Now, the first thing I did was say, what enemy prisoner of war camp? Who's the enemy? My friend Tim Gunderson, who was the former head of the FBI for Southern California, I shared him a copy of the contract, and I said, Ted, what's going on? And he came back a few days later, and he says, George, they're building them all over the country. Well, you're probably familiar with them as the FEMA camps or whatever, but the real reality, and a copy of that contract, I actually published it and put it in one of the books called Chaos in America. That's on my website, just so you know. The other problem that I'm looking at addressing in the world, the situation is so out of hand because of the politics. And politics is two words. You probably heard me in my lectures. Poly means many, and ticks are bloodsuckers. Now, this is just a game that I look at, because all these guys, they want to keep their own game. The nepotism at the top. In other words, you're going to protect your family. You're going to protect your job, and that's what you want to do. So you don't care about the masses. When I was in the Beltway, you know, inside the Beltway in Washington, D.C., when the people, you know, marching down the streets, really, those guys don't care about that. They just consider you rebels out there, or expendable containers, or they're useless eaters. You know, you may do something, but they control all the chips at this moment. Are they going to continue? I don't know. I talked to some of my world leader friends or other people that I know. I mean, the Chinese said it's 5,000 years. It's their turn to run the world. And they've got everything marked out, too. My Russian friends, in fact, I was partners with some, who have mapped the world's mineral resources. They're looking at the same thing. They're looking at the collapse of the United States. Everybody is. Anyway, that's a little bit more of my story.
Well, you know, it's interesting. It's so obvious to me that the elite can absolutely make sure that the doors are open for those that will play the game, and to the extent that they aid the agenda, obviously amazing doors can open and people can literally just be put together totally. And on the converse side of that is, if they don't play the game, then they can totally be taken apart, destroyed or whatever. It's, you know, people sometimes don't realize how these things work. People get drawn into it, and they see sometimes people that they thought used to be good all of a sudden take a turn and totally play the one world agenda, and they wonder what happened. You know, how is this going on? They don't realize how much these people have been co-opted through either what they've been offered or what they've been threatened with.
I think that's a good answer, the threatening. And also, there's a couple things that people, the mind control situation that they have, the ability to use the technologies that they have to manipulate people's thoughts. I mean, that's what we do right now, watching television, right? I mean, the only way you can speak today, and that's temporarily, about what's going on is on the internet, and that's all monitored, as we both know, and that's all going to come apart at some point.
It is, and that's something that I think a lot of us have a little bit of concern about, because so many people pin everything that they do on the internet and the communication therein, but what if one day it just wasn't there? What are they now? What? So,
well, there's a new book out, One Second After. I don't know if you've read it yet or not, but I had some verification in the last couple of days about the details in it. It's basically saying if they use a pulse weapon that has exploded over the United States, this pulse beam will wipe out all of our electronics. I mean, all your cars, everything. Everything will be shut down. I'll give you the source of this thing. Some guy by the name of Donald Rumsfeld. Okay. anyway, Oh, of course. But they were talking, they're very concerned. His meeting, you know, as you know, he's been involved with all this stuff. But Rumsfeld said the biggest concern is North Korea using a Scud missile and firing a couple of those, you know, because Scuds are sold all over the planet. You know, everybody buys those. It doesn't take much of those. They can put one of these pulse weapons, shoot off a couple of them, and they brought the United States back into the Stone Age.
That could be a very interesting scenario, to say the least.
Well, if you get a chance, I don't have the book, but I do have a copy of it. It's called One Second After. If you get a copy, it'll give you the whole scenario. The professor who wrote it is very knowledgeable, has all the details on what to prepare yourself for.
Okay. I want to remind everybody, we're speaking with George Green, who has some very unique experiences. I'm looking at your site here, George, and nohoax.com, and there are a lot of interesting things on here. I see that at the very top you have the Federal Reserve Conspiracy, that highly sought-after book that you have a limited run on. People can get hold of that. I see George Green's 2009 update to the big picture. A lot of things that you have on here. Maybe share with – I know you've written some books that are very helpful – some handbooks and a number of things that you have available. Maybe share a little bit about that with us. I also see down here you have Tragedy and Hope, the Carol Quigley book that is very revealing, and a book that says Patriots, Surviving the Coming Collapse. So there's a lot of interesting stuff here. Could you share with, a little bit about what that people may find on your site at NoHub?
Well, yeah, the analysis of your listeners and everybody else is, and like the people that call me this morning from other countries, they say, what do we do now? Everything's collapsing. I got people with a lot of cash. What do you do with it? Where can I save it? How can I secure it? Well, you and I are both talking on another game, because what happens if the whole world economic system collapses right now? Well, that's, you know, the economic or the money game I played very well. So I know all about that. I was a registered financial principal. I was a broker-dealer in securities. I was a real estate developer, real estate broker, insurance broker. I actually was, you know, buying companies, insurance companies. I found every one of them were rackets, just so you know. Now, meanwhile, right now, what we're more interested in is, forget the conspiracy, because it's an open conspiracy. It isn't any conspiracy. It's just a bunch of people protecting themselves. I even have the people that order any of my books and that they ask for it, you know, by going to my website, I'll give you the current chart, list of all the interlocking board of directors of all the major companies that are members of the CFR, the Trilaterals, and the Bilderbergers. You can see how the nepotism works. But, you know, I'll send it out free with any of the purchases of our books. Now, I get books down there as little as, you know, $6, $7, so it's not a big deal. But here's the thing. Ultimately, we have to come down to find out, what does this mean to me and what does it mean for you? Because you and I are nothing more than a spirit inside this, what I call a rent-a-wreck, this body, this physical body that you and I are walking down the street. What is the bigger picture? And the bigger picture is explained in the handbook in its series, and that's the reason why I have it on there, because what is really occurring is only a microcosm of what's happening in the universe. And Earl, that opens up another Pandora's box. Because now the question is, what do we have to all of this stuff, and who's coming back to save us other than ourselves? And that's the problem. We have to come back to being personally responsible, because it's our game. We've allowed this to happen to us. Meanwhile, the planet's getting ready to go through some amazing changes. This year is the beginning of major earthquakes, and I think I said that at the lecture down there. We just had one yesterday, I guess you know, went down in Haiti. But we're going to have them all over the planet, including the United States. It's, I don't know the exact timing on all these things, but I do know they're coming up. The United States is going to be split down the middle with the New Madrid. This West Coast is going away. The San Andreas is going to break from San Francisco down. I even talked to the head of FEMA down there, down in Phoenix, asking what he's going to do with all the people. And he said, we're only going to allow 100,000 Californians over the border because we won't have the resources to take care of it. We're running out of water. You probably saw the special they had on CBS the other day. And the water's running as a critical thing all over. Even Boone Pickens says, you know, he's investing all his money into water resources right now. So that's an interesting area. So I'm more interested in right now is providing people some solutions. Anything that they thought that they owned, I'm urging everybody to get out of the stock market. Metals from a historical standpoint, like gold and silver, is always good because it's something you can store your wealth in. What's it going to be worth and what are you going to be trading it for? I have no idea. The Chinese, taking all their money, are buying all of the natural resources and the companies throughout the world. They own the second largest oil company in Canada. They're buying oil. They just got you buying the next 3 years of oil from Venezuela, 100%. Now, Venezuela's oil was finding its way up to us through Mexico, but Mexico's running out of oil in the next 2 years, Earl. So now we got a real problem. We got no more oil coming in. In the next 2 years, everybody's going to be fantastically upside down. The $3 oil you're looking at, $5 oil, we're going to have $6 oil here again very shortly, and that'll bring our economy to its knees.
Yeah, we're in some very interesting times. A couple of other things I like that's on your site, it's a little unique, is you have all these vital statistics, and then you also have your death clock works, whereas the one that we know so publicly well, I guess they said it wouldn't work anymore. You got yours to work.
Well, you know, the problem is that's just debt. Remember, we're creating these things, and when I was doing underwriting for people's pension funds, I mean, I had companies that wanted to set up funds for their people. The actual underwriting rules, if you take a look at the insurance company's actuary deals, actuarially, we know how many people are going to die. We know what's going to happen, and roughly. But in order to establish it, and I call it the wild card, was inflation. None of them touched inflation. In order to me to address what they wanted, I'd had to get an 8.3% return on my investment for my investors in order for them to be at what I call an even keel. Now, what can you put your money in at 8.3%? I mean, just no place, right? That was ignoring inflation. So I'm looking at what happened like yesterday in Argentina. You probably heard that they seized all the pension funds to pay off the debt.
Oh, yeah.
That's pension funds here are all in the stock market. Who's manipulating the stock market? I mean, I don't know if you probably heard of the Plunge Committee. This is a group of people that were 20 years ago when I had my securities firm in Denver. I'll just give you an idea. The market dropped about 20% in one day. The next day, I got a letter from the Federal Reserve asking me they would loan me the money directly to maintain the market. Now, as an underwriter in securities, part of my job was if I do a public underwriting, I would issue stock. I'd also, because of the job of being an underwriter, your job is to make sure that the people could sell stock back to you. So that's your position, right, as a market maker. Well, I have several of my other broker friends. They always like what they call an IPOs or initial public offerings, so they could also do the same thing. In other words, they could sell the new stock that I got issued, and everybody's happy. But the stockbrokers make money only by selling stocks, right?
Right.
Okay, the company itself would get the money, but the stockholders are sitting here hoping to make money on trading between other people. Actually, has nothing to do with that. Well, when the market dropped, and we handed all this down here, I'm analyzing the company's value for what I call net worth at that time, as an accountant point. And I look at a stock that had run up because people's greed out here. Maybe it ran up to $10 and we had it at a dollar, right? And it ran up to $10 within a year. All of a sudden, it dropped back down. Now, why would I want to buy the stock back? I mean, I'm the underwriter. Why would I want to buy it back? It was trading at 10, and my people are trying to unload the stocks. I just didn't want to do it. I'm sitting there because I knew the company was only worth 50 cents, for instance. So what happened is, and I notified my other ones, rather than going through this charade on the people, I mean, these are things I learned on the hands-on, I just shut my firm down, and so did a lot of other ones. Then the federal government, the Federal Reserve, put up what they call a committee, or the Plunge Committee, they call it. And they put basically a group of people on the floor of the stock exchange in order to maintain the market. So if it starts to go down or they want to manipulate it anyway, they can go ahead. They have, of course, access by creating money out of thin air, as you know, in the Federal Reserve. But they also have the way to go ahead and manipulate the market. Now, the manipulation of the market, by 10 minutes before it closes, all they have to do is buy 100 shares of stock at any price they want to buy it at. That, in other words, if I took a stock that was selling at $8 and they decided to buy 100 shares at $10, at the end of the evening, it showed $10 for the other millions of shares that were trading out there. Now, do you think that really makes any sense?
Mm-hmm.
That's, in other words, we all of a sudden we created an artificial thing that's going up, like the Dow Jones 30. They suddenly went it up. Well, the Dow Jones keeps changing its stocks. Remember last year, 2 years ago, when the market collapsed? Everything that was less than $10 was replaced by other stocks. Even there is no such thing as the original Dow Jones 30. You can look it up. None of them exist. They even got rid of U.S. Steel, which was one of the original stocks, with Disney. Now, that's a, you know, good comical thing. Disney just makes movies, right? So all we're doing is looking as a big amusement park. But there was another way for people to start putting in, let's gamble and make it so they're not gambling. We're going to let you put it into your own retirement account, and we're going to invest the money for you in a mutual fund or some other fund that buys stocks again. Stocks are totally a gambling casino. You have better off basically at a casino than you do in the stock market because it's totally manipulated right now.
It's a rigged game, yeah?
It's all a game.
Okay.
Everything is a game, Earl.
Yeah, and the thing is that unfortunately there are very few that know the inner workings of how to work that game to their favor.
Well, again, what's it, the greed is the biggest incentive, right? When you say work the game for their favor, isn't that just greed, take away from your fellow people? And that's what it amounts to. But most people don't invest. Most people's money, the stock market's, most of its money is because people get their retirement money taken out every week or every month and put into their retirement account. And whoever is managing that retirement account has no place to put the money, either into government bonds, which are worthless, right, or stocks, which are the same thing. So you tell me what's going to happen to the American. I'm just, you know, it's going to be the day when people wake up and find out that their pension funds are totally no good.
It's going to be a scary day for a lot of people.
Well, the same thing with Social Security. They borrowed all the money out of Social Security. So the game continues on in the United States. And as you're probably aware, the people that buy, for instance, Tragedy and Hope and the DVD From Freedom to Fascism, they've got them to admit not 100% of the money that's collected to taxes out of your withholding goes to the Federal Reserve as interest. None of it goes to run our country. So all of a sudden, we're back in another game. And all these details are on my website, you know, the Federal Reserve Conspiracy, either Anthony Sutton or Eustace Mullins, either one of them have written good books. So we've got videos on it. You know, there's all kinds of stuff to expose them. But then you're going to wake up to the same game that I did. They have so much control, there's nothing you can do other than get your family and get yourself aligned with other friends of like minds to support each other in the days ahead, move your money into what I call tradable objects like food, clothes, you know, things you can use, because everything's going to shut down at the shopping centers, all the stuff that's all happening. All of the major shopping centers in the United States are operating under bankruptcy right now. You know, when I used to build shopping centers and that stuff, I always borrowed 30-year mortgages, but they all had 5-year calls. Don't you believe that all the shopping centers and stuff are in the same position right now? There's a couple $1 trillion worth of mortgages out here in the commercial market. They're all coming due this year. Or, oh, what's going to happen on the commercial market? I mean, you saw what happened on the residential. What's going to happen on the commercial?
Yes, absolutely. What I think might be good for us now is if we can move into some of the questions from the listeners. There was someone that was actually holding on the line, and I guess that maybe they got dropped, or either that or they changed their mind. But I invite anyone who is on the conference bridge line, to, if you have a question, then just dial *2 on your phone keypad, and we'll make sure that your line gets unmuted so that you can ask your question. And if you're listening via the Internet, just type your question in that little question box right under the link, and submit that to us, and we'll make sure that the question gets asked. We do have some questions in the queue, so let me go ahead and go over to there that have come in by way of the Internet, and we'll start right in with that. Chet Weed in Tootle, Washington, says, the government is nothing but a corporation acting as a government, and what people should know is we have no constitutional government, and how do you expect a corporational Supreme Court to act for the Constitution. HJRBonds.com is a grassroots organization starting a constitutional government, starting with the counties and working up to the state level. And this is out of Tacoma, Washington, with listeners all over the country. This is where we need to start, at the county levels, and we need more people to work in the counties. Any comment to that, George?
Well, I work with a couple people. I listen to Sheriff Mack. I don't know if you had him on your program or not, but
he's great.
Yeah, he has all the power in order to do, you know, he just tell you all the sheriffs have the power to do that. The Constitution is basically manipulated right now by the power brokers. And we don't have it anymore. That's the reason why you're looking at the dissolving of our country. And what I'm urging people, like the one that you just had, is get these people all organized to get prepared for the total collapse, not to redo it again, because they're going to get World War III started. That's what the plan is. And the World War III, frankly, is to reduce the population of the United States down to less than 20 million. I'm urging everybody to get away from the seasides, because we're going to have major earth changes that's going to basically wipe out most of the population that's living next to the ocean. That's something you ought to be aware of. Move into small cities, move into communities that very small communities that are away from what I call the hazardous areas right now. The police in the United States, all of the people that are supposedly helping us are all losing money because the cities are no longer getting their taxes and they're laying off people. So if you had a piece of paper out here, you have to look at the enforcement on it. We don't have any money left because of the game now. The game of money, I actually have the World Cash Card. I have a copy of it. You know, like they're doing in Canada right now. They want, or like right now in the States, they're getting you used to a debit card, right? This is what's coming down. I don't know what to do with the people that are, you know, I get them all the time and I attend the meetings on them. Well, we're going to start a constitutional party. We're going to do all this stuff. There's not enough people doing that. Most people are asleep, unfortunately.
Yeah, a lot of people are just scattered and splattered around into different factions and efforts, unfortunately. But I still think we can't just fold in. We've got to try to do everything we can to turn it around, or at least to slow part of it down, if at all possible. I don't think it's entirely in vain, but we're certainly up against a lot. We really are. Do you think that, you mentioned the geological changes coming, the earth changes, that sort of thing. I know there are people that know it, that are in certain positions, and if you had talked more in quiet, they're not supposed to let it out and create spook the herd. But do you think it's also going to have help from some of that Tesla technology, like the earthquake machine and that sort of thing? Maybe, I don't know, HARP or whatever they use to do that. Do you think that's going to be it, or do you think it's just a natural occurrence that's coming?
No, we got both. We got both. We have countries that are manipulating both the weather, as you probably are aware, as well as the sending out energy beams to see if they can cause the earthquakes. The trouble is we are reaching a cycle. Our planet itself, the planet Earth, as it's spinning around in its cycles, is going around our sun, as you know, not 365 and a quarter days, but our system is running around the central sun of the Pleiades, called Alcyone, and the cycle's about every 25,000 years. I'll just rough it out. But anyway, we're running into a band of energy which is hitting the planet right now, which will be escalating. We're reaching a point in the universe where they call the beginning of another cycle. And because this is all occurring, all coincidentally, all in the next few years, the escalation of the changes of the planet, I mean, I've got so many details on, of what we have done and what we've gone back for before. I mean, when I went to School of Mines, you know, and my major was geophysics. You can go out the back door, for instance, and go along the hog back there, and you know that the planet has slipped on its axis before. Well, I'm getting the same information that we're going to be doing that again. I don't know whether it's going to be right now. It's probably 300 or 400 years in advance. But I do know right now, the next 3 or 4 years, major geological things are going to happen. And I do know, because I'm talking to a lot of other people that are monitoring some of these things. You know, my friend Nick Baggage, for instance, up in Alaska. And also the geologist out in California. I mean, there's 1,000 earthquakes an hour that are happening, or you know, right now in California, but they're all less than three, so they don't report them. So we got a lot of shaking and rattling going on, but the escalations from my sources are get away from the oceans and get away from these things, because this year we're going to have major changes in weather. It's kind of like what's going on right now on the East Coast, and that's all because of what we've been doing to the planet ourselves. And it's the main problem has been the radiation that we've sent out by exploding the nuclear bombs, and they're aware of that too.
Okay. We actually have a couple of callers holding. We have, it doesn't say a name, but it's Roanoke, Virginia. Last four numbers are 1997 of your phone, and I've just unmuted your line. Are you there, guest?
Yeah, I'm there. You hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Go right ahead.
Okay, my name is George. I'm another George. How's it going there, George Green?
Hey, I'm doing good, George.
I saw your show there. I listened to you the other night on Alex Jones. That was the first night. I think that was the first night I found it. I've been on top of that and on top of every website since that night. Only been to bed just long enough to sleep. As soon as I wake up, I'm right back on it.
Well, what can I do for you?
There's a meeting here planned tomorrow, a local Tea Party group that's got together in Franklin County, Virginia. I'm actually in the mountains of Virginia, in the foothills of the Blue Ridge Mountains.
Good.
This stuff, I've been knowing this stuff. I'm 41 years old. I'm a single male. I'm looking out the window of a studio apartment in a one-story garage. I've been knowing this stuff in my gut and in my heart since basically I was a child. I've been working in construction all my life, carpenter. I've been saying it to people. People look at me like I'm crazy. I've been saying this country needs a revolution since back when I was a kid. It's all come to fruition now. It scares the hell out of me that people are so dense and so stupid and so ignorant and won't wake up when you try to tell them anything. But yet, like I've been hearing lately, like yesterday I think it was mentioned on your show, Earl, people will spend $5 to call in for American Idol, but they won't get off their ass and do anything to save the country or save this earth. But yet everybody's fighting for conservation. I mean, I don't understand it anymore. What do we do to get the masses educated? Like right now, I've been out of work for over a year now. Last year, if I added up all my work together, I may have worked 3 months out of 12.
Earl, unfortunately, you have selected this lifetime to experience this for some reason, and maybe one of the people that are waking up. I'm urging people to read the handbook in Embracing Rainbow and Becoming. These books trigger people to awaken to who and what they are and what they can do. And you probably read some of the information because you can download them free on my website.
What's your website?
Nohoax.com, NOHOAX.com.
Excellent
okay.
site.
Okay. I haven't been to your site then yet.
It's
there was another interesting guy on Alex Jones' show last night who is full of information. I don't know if any of y'all listened to him last night, but his name is also George Washington Hunt. He has a site called NoBigBadBanks, I believe it's called, .com. Let me double check on that. He has got information. He was also on the inside, as you were, George. He was on the inside. He was at a meeting in Denver, Colorado, back in 1987 with all of these people. He has them on recordings, actually describing what you're telling people they're going to do. He has them recorded, busted wide open.
Well, Aaron Russo, who just died, also did that on his...
Yes, very
you know,
good.
From Freedom
yes.
to Fascism. Yeah, Aaron and I spent the afternoon on that. You know, but it's you're past the point now, or frankly, George, you want to try to get together with other... You're going to a Tea Party meeting. These people have started it. Okay, you go to the Tea Party meeting and get them to start preserving, getting themselves in the thing to get food stored up, get your water taken care of.
That's just it. I'm not trying to cut you up, but that's just it. I don't think these people in these Tea Party movements even know how deep this stuff really is with good against evil.
Well,
that's what we're facing, really. I believe in my mind, You correct me if I'm wrong, or you give me your input on what you think it is. I think it's just the bottom line of the Bible coming to fruition. All the prophecies that were written about in the Holy Bible are here in our face, and we are that generation, like you just said.
Well, just be careful, because what you're saying is you're looking for somebody to come back at that point to save us, and that's not going to happen. You know what Christ said? What I do, you can do, and more. He also said, but he also said, what you sow, you shall reap. So in other words, we're totally responsible for what's going on.
Yeah,
so
but I think that we're fighting evil is what the whole battle is.
Well, but the Bible they wrote, you have to take the Old Testament and New Testament and break them apart. You have to realize that most of the people's use, and I won't go into it too much, but when Francis Bacon, you know, he's got 50 guys, they rewrote most of the old Bible, made it King James, and King James was a real weirdo. So anyway, they've rechanged all that stuff. So, like, people will fall in line, George, just to follow what it says in the Bible.
Yeah, manipulating like they're doing with indoctrinating kids.
Exactly. It's exactly the same thing. And I'm not going to knock anybody's religion. They can believe anything they want. But they have to understand is even there's much truth in the Bible, but they've got a bunch of lies. So we have to look at the whole thing. I have to sort it out. That's called discernment. And the days ahead, you and I are the ones that wake up. And you may not have any money, so to speak, but you're still surviving somehow, right?
Exactly.
So you are. That's where we're in right now. And I suggest you read the Patriots book right now, or another one, The End of the World as We Know It, written by, you know, Rawls, the same author. But these are the things you have to do to give you some information what to do. We're not going to save the country. It's gone.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. I pretty much agree with that, too.
Listener,
George got it so screwed up. Yeah.
I'm sorry, listener. We do have some other people holding. Was there maybe one more question or comment or something before we move on?
Well, I just would like to know, do you have all those book readings listed on your site? And what can I tell these folks tomorrow when I go to this tea party? I mean, how do you get people to wake up? And what do we do to prolong it, try to stop it? I mean, I don't think we should all give up. And just say it's inevitable that,
George, you're not giving up. You've already said it. You are going to take on responsibility. You cannot save somebody else. You can only save yourself. That's part of the game. Get in the first rule in the universe, gain all knowledge.
Exactly.
So you can wisely follow the laws of creation. And frankly, that's in the handbook that's on our website.
Okay.
Hey,
I'll get that handbook and start spreading it around then to people.
Thank you very much, George.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Have a great day. I'm going to pull into another person. Hold on. We've got it looks like it's West River, Maryland. It ends in 3831. Are you there, listener?
Hello?
Yes, that's you.
Yeah, hi. I was just kind of listening to what's going on here. I'd heard about George Green. I'd seen his books. I just kind of got late on the broadcast. I was home for lunch. I was just kind of wondering, if it's going to be a cashless society, we have to have food. What do we do? Buy these ready-to-store foods that last for 25 years, grow our own, have our own private sources of be totally off the grid when it comes to energy and all the rest of it. But the thing that bothers me is that we're so well-tracked by the community that we live in, that it's hard to get away. For instance, when they did the census, they actually took the GPS units of our house. They've never done that before, but that was something new last year that kind of put me on edge. So I'm kind of concerned that if you try to get away, they know where you are. They can track you with your OnStar on your car or something else. How does one successfully evade the surveillance that is so prevalent here? I'm out here on the East Coast, just like your other caller in Maryland, near D.C. How does one survive in that particular kind of regime where everything you go is monitored, they track you by your cell phone? Where do you hide? They can GPS and see you from the sky, so that if you even had a private place to go, you could be visible from the sky, even though you weren't visible from the road. So it's kind of somewhat, you kind of feel like a rat that's trapped and no place to go.
Hide in plain sight. Don't try to hide, because okay. The ones that try to hide, your neighbors are going to turn you in.
Right.
So what you want to do, try to be invisible as much as you can, but knowing that you're monitored by satellites, you're monitored by everything else.
Oh, yeah.
And other equipment, that you're being monitored clear down to your soul energy, believe it or not.
You know, I kind of think that way, and I've been trying to think at the internal level, just in my own mind, to put out a positive view, to see something positive come out of this, but boy, it looks like it's one against a tidal wave, and you're kind of standing there waiting for the wave to hit. So I guess that is the real test, that you maintain your calmness, and also you want to evolve your spirit, because there was some reason that I guess I chose to come down at this particular time, right in time for the big finale, I guess.
That's exactly. There are four simple laws in the universe, just so you know. The first one is the law of attraction. What you put out, you're going to get back.
Mm-hmm.
The second one is the law of intent. What did you intend for the action that you put out? In other words, mm-hmm. everything is basically thought made manifest. The
Correct.
Third one, you have to law, is a law of allowance. Now, the fourth one is where everybody, they don't calculate it out.
Mm-hmm.
That's the law of balance. It mm-hmm. has to be in balance. If it's not in balance, then things have to change.
Mm-hmm.
However, the universe works out of the creation. The creation works this way. Out of the chaos,
mm-hmm.
we're going to create something new. But you need the guidelines in order to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in the handbook, Embracing Rainbow and Becoming, which mm-hmm. you can download off of my website for free.
Okay.
It gives you all the instructions. I suggest you take and monitor them, because you do that, a lot of things are going to happen to you as far as your thoughts and actions and what's going to happen. And then you'll understand why you are here at this time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I will do that, and I appreciate your help.
Great. Thank you, listener.
Thank you.
Okay, and what we will do now is go ahead and move on to we've got some more questions in the queue. They keep growing. Let me scroll over to that, and we'll get right on it. We have Joe, and he's with Patriots Unite 2010 in Manchester, New Hampshire. Do you believe there will be a large-scale false flag attack exceeding 9/11 in the coming year, including at the 2010 Canadian Olympics? Or do you believe that the economic crash will create the same result and cause martial law and NAU merger? Lastly, do you agree that the only way to fight is to be prepared via food, weapons, and survival groups?
I think that the chaos is going to go in all directions, not only the economic collapse, but we're going to have the geophysical changes, we're going to have the war going. The chaos is going to be enormous throughout the whole planet right now. Many countries are now, we have become the most hated country in the world. Now, when it comes down to his little groups and everything, that's the only way you can do it. There's some groups out here that I'm familiar with. They're doing everything they can to be off the grid, getting their food stored up. Each family has its little job it has to do in order to assist the rest of the group, all in small communities. The big cities are nothing more than prison camps, frankly. That's going to be set up. There's nothing you can be able to do there. Most people have a half a tank of gas, frankly, and they'll be able to travel somewhere, but you won't be able to go anywhere. That'll be the next thing. So, and right now, because of the economic situation is, you can't get rid of your houses, you can't get rid of anything else, because there's no money out there to do that. So we have a real change that's going to be happening. My suggestion is get with your groups and discuss what you can do to do all the things you can. Now, everybody's talking about guns and everything else, and there's an old movie. Remember that one where they had the motorcycle gangs running around and guns? I'm not saying a gun is not necessarily evil at this point, but I think, you know, you have one for self-preservation. One of the rules on killing somebody, however, is in the universe, is thou shalt not murder thy fellow man in thought or deed. Now, you got to defend yourself. If you don't do that, then you're in trouble. So these are the things we have to really, I'd say, cogitate or analyze for what you're going to be able to do in the days ahead.
Okay. We've got Chuck Madera in Redwood City. I would like to find a refiner in my general area that can smelt gold dust. I don't know. Do you want to comment to that?
Sure. There's nobody refining gold in the United States. All gold, and I'm right here next to where all the gold and silver mines are, and we're talking about creating a new refinery to do exactly that. But all gold, all silver, everything else is all sent out of the country, sent to Mexico or Canada or Hong Kong or Switzerland for processing. They have basically, the EPA has shut down all the mining situations in the United States at that point. So you may find a gold mine or a silver mine, or you may have some of this stuff to do it, but you can't do it. Not here in this country.
Okay. All right. Michael in Panorama City asked, how do we get the second part of Handbook for a New Paradigm?
The second book is up on the internet. Now, my internet site's being all changed over this weekend, so you should be able to do it. Or you can, you know, order the set if you want to. You can call my 800 number and order the set, or just order it on the internet. You'll get the hard copy.
Okay. I know that we're at the hour point now, and we have some more questions. And I know if you have other commitments, George, that's fine. Let us know. I don't know. Do you have a little bit more time to take some more questions?
Unfortunately, I'm supposed to have a meeting in about 10 minutes with some people, but so I don't know what to do about that. I guess I could spend a couple minutes, but I do have to go.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll just maybe take a couple of more quick questions and then just call it at that. Byron Wine in Manassas, Virginia. The internet feed drops out in about 15 seconds using IE. I don't know. Okay. That must be for the webinar. Frank in Long Beach, since becoming an exposer of the New World Order, how effective have you been in terms of results to thwart their continuing efforts to centralize planning? In your opinion, are current efforts such as Tea Parties, the recent Continental Congress, et cetera, going to be effective in restoring the Republic, or are these nothing more than an exercise in futility? Good question.
The truth is, all we're doing is getting people, their names and stuff, to be rounded up at some point. These guys, my CIA friends think that they've won already. That's the reason why they don't bother about me, frankly. They think that they've won, and all these parties, all they're doing is getting people lined up so they know who is going to be against them, so they can round them up for these camps that they have. And frankly, remember, they want to exterminate us by all means necessary. I do have the information on that because I sat in on the meetings. Anybody over age 44 will be eliminated unless you have a talent that they can use. And it's the old game again. How do we survive in the days ahead? And I don't think us coming back to getting the Republic back again, even though I'd love to. And look, I've been fighting this for 20 years when I found out. And I mean, all my friends, I was going to make a movie on it, but the movie industry is controlled by them. The publishing industry is controlled by them. The only thing that's available right now is what you're doing, Earl, and that's on the internet for a temporary time.
Yeah, the alternative media is important for what it can get out there. Let's maybe take, you've got time for about one more question, right?
Got it.
Raymond in Los Angeles, when you say Obama was placed in the White House, are you saying that like Jimmy Carter, the elite handpicked President Obama years before the election actually took place?
Oh, of course. All of these people up there, if you get into position of being a president and all of a sudden you wake up to how much power you are, it's easy to take you out. Look at John Kennedy. That's exactly what happened. He got up and what did he do? He was going to have the money printed. He was doing a lot of different things that happened. Jimmy Carter did exactly what he was supposed to do. He gave away the Panama Canal. He got everything more organized, exactly what he was supposed to do. So the game is all controlled from behind the scenes. We'll put people out there. Obama, look what he's doing right now. He's handpicked. You probably saw the video, the Obama Nation.
Yes,
and all the people behind him are nothing more than the handpicked ones that are controlled out of New York City. By the way, New York City is going to go away.
Okay.
Probably a nuke. I think I'm expecting it in Washington, D.C. to be hit by a nuclear bomb. The Soviets have nuclear submarines on both coasts right now. And basically, they've warned warned them, as well as China has warned Obama. If the dollar collapses any further, they consider that an act of war.
Okay. Well, George, I really appreciate. I wanted to get to mention a couple of things, and maybe if you have a parting thought for us that you wanted to share, let's do that here in just a moment. Look for the replay of this to be posted shortly after this webinar, and let's start getting this information out, folks, as much as possible. What I'd like to do is if George would be willing, sometime in the future, have you come back and visit with us again. I know we had massive questions that we only got to part of them, and I'm sure there's a lot more that George has to share with us. And with that, if you would, George, share any parting thoughts that you have for us.
All I can tell you is I bless the listeners that are willing to come listen to your program and support you in any way they can right at this minute. And also try to get the information to their neighbors. And I suggest they go to my website and read the handbook. And if it clicks in, there's a much bigger story. And I'll be glad to be back on the program and spend more time when I should have set more time about it, and I didn't. I'm leaving the country in a couple days, so I'm trying to, get up on my own self going. I'll be back in another 10 days. So.
We appreciate that. You've spent valuable time with us, and I wish you a very fruitful trip, whatever your endeavors are on that. And folks, certainly go to nohoax.com, NOHOAX.com. There's a wealth of information there, and partake of what George is offering. He's giving a lot for our freedoms. So with that, we hope to see everyone tomorrow. We're going to have Dr. Barbara Starfield, MD, talking about a number of things, medical care, and we'll hope that everyone will join us for that. So with that, have a good day. Thanks again, George, and everybody. We'll see you tomorrow. Okay, bye-bye.
The moderator has left the conference.